We're continuing our study of the Day of the Lord that we started about 3 weeks ago. And in our first lesson concerning the Day of the Lord, we learned that this phrase describing a particular time is very often used in Scripture. It's almost like a technical term. When you meet it, you know exactly what the Lord is talking about, not many days, but a particular day. And we learn that this time is a specific time when God intervenes in the affairs of men. Now, intervention of God in the affairs of men is certainly not a new thing, for the Bible is filled with direct physical acts of God upon the earth and upon men. Read the Bible and you'll see these physical acts that God has brought into the affairs of men through direct intervention. But however, in the past 2,000 years, God has been silent in this manner. We have seen no universal floods. We saw a rainbow the other day, and every time I see a rainbow, I think of the promise of God in Scripture that there will never be another flood, a universal flood. But we've had no universal floods because of God's promise. We've had no parting of the seas. We've had no stopping of the sun. We've had no virgin births. We've had no resurrections since our Lord Jesus Christ walked those dusty trails of Israel. But God has given us His Word. We have His Word. We have His completed Word. We can trust in His completed Word, spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in speaking, He has ushered in the age of grace. And this age has been conducted under the auspices of God's Spirit, working in the hearts of men by faith. There hasn't been intervention by the Lord, by God, in physical intervention, but He's intervened in the hearts of men through His Spirit under the auspices of men. So there's been no physical acts of intervention during this period, for God has chosen men under the direction of His Spirit by which to conduct His business. We have been told to preach the gospel to every creature. We have been told to go throughout all the earth and preach the gospel. And that's what we try to do at Grace Bible Church, Grace Bible Sunday School. We try to preach the gospel. We try to send the gospel throughout the ends of the earth, for that is where the power is today. And God is using this time also to allow satanic and human evil to run its course. You know, every time a seed is planted, it takes time for that seed to generate the plant or the fruit. And God has decided to allow satanic and human evil to run its course, and therefore He has chosen to be silent and to not interfere in the process. Of course, we know that God's Spirit is at work providing restraint in order to prevent total destruction. Without God's Spirit on this earth, men and Satan would bring total destruction. So God has that restraining force until He decides to intervene in a physical sense. And the Scriptures tell us today that God is allowing what is called the mystery of lawlessness to run its course, which will result in the coming of a great world leader. The stage is being set. If you have any sense of observation, which today in this country doesn't seem to be very rampant, you see some of these interviews with people on the street, they hardly know anything of what's going on. But if you're not ignorant of the Scriptures, and if you pay attention to the Scriptures, and you seek a truth, God will reveal to you the fact that there is a cry in this world for a great world leader. And this great world leader will epitomize lawlessness. Why? Why will He epitomize lawlessness? Because Jesus Christ epitomizes righteousness. And as we said before, Satan turns everything backwards, 180 degrees backwards. And if he sees Jesus Christ as the epitome of righteousness, then he will present a man that will be the epitome of lawlessness. And that's what we are about to see as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 12. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's, of course, talking about the restraint of the Spirit of God. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Praise the Lord. And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Do you love the truth? Do you love the truth? If you don't love the truth, you'll love a lie. I mean, that's what the scriptures teach. That's what I've learned in my brief time on earth. That if you don't love the truth, you'll love a lie. You'll grab hold of a lie. You'll walk on the path of lies. But with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. You say, why is things happening in the world? There's strong delusion on the horizon. You won't be able to convince people of the truth because there's strong delusion given to them in their minds. Why? That they should believe a lie. In other words, God lets them go to a reprobate mind. Oh, how important it is to love the truth. To hold on to the truth, to insist on the truth in your homes. You know, when you have a child that lies, oh, that's an abomination. That ought not to be just passed over. Oh, that's just a child. No, a lie is a lie. We don't want to believe the lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in righteousness. Now, who are the damned? The ones that didn't believe the truth. God gives out the truth through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the silence then of the last 2,000 years is about to be broken as God must intervene in his creation lest all be destroyed by the great destroyer, Satan, and his man of sin. Now God has to intervene. If he expects to save his creation, he has to intervene. We know that God created everything that can be seen and touched, and he created everything that lives and breathes, and everything that he created, according to Genesis 1:31, was good. For God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, he said. You know, ladies, you make a cake, and you put the frosting on and you decorate it so nicely. Some of you ladies are so good at that. Now you step back and let your works praise you. Proverbs 31 tells you. You don't say, I'm not going to wait for my husband to praise me because he doesn't notice anything. But you know, you let your works praise you. Well, that's what God did. He created all things and he stood back and he said, this is very, very good. He loves his creation. God created everything to bring glory to himself. Now, is he going to just sit back and let all that be destroyed by the sinful heart of man and the sinful heart of the devil? No, he's not going to do it. God has created things for to bring glory to himself, and he intends for that purpose to be realized, and therefore you can be sure that anything man or Satan does will not destroy or disturb his purposes. He's not going to let it. God's pronouncement that all was very good demands that he intervene when things aren't going good. God will intervene at his good time to ensure that his creation meets his pronouncement that everything that he had made was very good. That's our God. Now, I believe the scriptures, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'll repeat it, I believe the scriptures teach that the day of the Lord includes the great tribulation all the way through the millennium, to include the cleansing of the heavens and earth by fire and the creation of new heavens and a new earth. You know, there's a long way to go before that happens yet. We're at least 1,007 years from that. Long way to go, a lot of history to be made. But the day of the Lord includes the day when God pours out his judgments upon the earth and those of the earth who oppose him, including Satan and his forces. He's going to set things right according to his pronouncement that all things were very good. You know, when God says all things are very good, he's not going to let anybody change that. You come in and you mess up the room, and he comes in and makes sure that the room is clean. Now, Zephaniah 1:14 through 18 describes God's judgments, which will take place during the last half of the tribulation and will include the rescue of God's chosen people, the Jews, who will be surrounded by the forces of Satan. Now, the United States can do all it can to protect Israel, but God is the rescuer of Israel, according to the scriptures. You know, when he intervenes, it's going to be a dire time. From a human standpoint, the Jews would say, all is lost. All is lost. We're going to be cast into the sea. The hordes have gathered around us, this little tiny country. The bullies of the world have gathered around to cast us into the sea and have no memory upon this earth. God will intervene. His chosen people, he promised Abraham, and he'll keep his promise. Now, the Apostle Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:10-14 that the day of the Lord continues through the 1,000-year rule of Christ and through the cleansing of the heavens. So it's a long period of time. But it's the time when God intervenes. God does not leave us ignorant of what takes place during the day of the Lord by describing in the book of Daniel a federation of nations which will be devoted to the elimination of Israel. Oh, how we see that in our time. We're living through historical days. You know, perk up. Watch what's going on. That federation is beginning, the Arab Spring. Oh, yeah, the Arab Spring, such a nice, delightful word for what's going on as they kill each other in Syria. What a stupid phrase. The Arab Spring, it's bubbling. You know, we live in strange days. But Daniel tells us of this political leader who will make and break a covenant with the people of Israel, thus setting the stage for our promise keeping God to rescue his people. You know how much you love the Lord when you know that every promise of God is secure. You know I'm saved. And I know that I will be with the Lord. And as you get older, and I think the older folks can testify, oh, how we long to be with the Lord. You know, our time, most of our life is gone. We may have a few years here, we can drag out a few years, but oh, how we long to go home. Every promise of God is secure. God's Spirit will be active in the perilous times to come. For God will send out 144,000 Jewish missionaries to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom to everyone on earth. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine? Think about that. Jewish missionaries going out to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is coming. The announcement will go out. The kingdom is coming. All kinds of things are going on the earth. But there will be a broadcast of the kingdom is coming, and the king is coming with the kingdom. And God will raise up two special witnesses to prophesy for 1,260 days. We said that they'll have power to control the weather. They'll see this hurricane coming. If they don't want this hurricane to come, they'll tell it to go away. Melt. They'll have power over the weather, we're told. They'll have power over the purity of water. And they'll have power to smite the earth with plagues as often as they choose. And then in Revelation, we read of the vials, that God uses the symbolism of the vials to describe his wrath, a wrath such as was never seen on the earth, nor will never be seen again. Now, at the end of this seven-year period of tribulation, that great battle of Armageddon, initiated by the united enemies of Israel, will occur as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then in verse 1 of 39, we see God's defeat of them. Remember, we were told in Matthew, the Spirit of the Lord will make them melt. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts. Now, there's a lot of controversy about who that is, but I know that Iran is the north parts too. I'm not going to get into that. It's too complicated and too controversial. But the federation, this is that federation that he's talking about. And will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thine arrows. What are those arrows, you wonder? Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And then that great intervention of God will take place, the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will come in glory with his angels, gathering his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. I want to be in that group. I want to be with the Lord as he comes back in glory to smite the enemies. And Jesus Christ told us this in Matthew 24, 29, and 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. What an introduction to what's to come. And then, it says, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Oh, they'll say it's too late. It's too late. Look what's happening to us. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now his elect, of course, include those who were saved during the tribulation, and this resurrection is implied in Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that millennium is promised there. The resurrection of those that were lost in the tribulation is promised there. So we've seen in our previous study that the church, and I believe the Old Testament saints, will already have been raised. But at the end of the 7-year period of the tribulation, those slain For the witness of Jesus will be raised to live and reign during the millennium. Christ will destroy the beast, his armies, and the false prophet. You know how wonderful it is to know the truth. Jesus said, when you see these things coming about. Now, the rapture is going to take us out, but there's things that will precede the rapture that foretell that doom is coming in the tribulation. And he says, when you see these things, don't cower. Don't shake. What does he say? Look up. Why? For your redemption draws nigh. Now, that'll quell all fears, won't it? Won't that push down all fears? Look up. For your redemption draws nigh. But Christ will destroy the beast. We read of that in Revelation 19, 17 through 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the midst, into the supper of the great God. I saw a hawk this morning dive down from the sky into my wife's garden after a squirrel. Boy, you almost got him. Those squirrels are very, very cagey. But he almost got him. Ruffled all the, went through the plants and tried to get him. But in this case, they're all going to be there. Gathering, he'll call the fowls of the air. Got a job for you. Oh, and they'll fly. The skies will be black with the fowls of the air. And he calls it the great supper. The supper of the great God. Can you imagine that? That ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of the mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You know, we were talking about, I think it was at lunch, the pastor and I were talking about the stories that of the Bible that have been taken and cartoonized. You know, Noah and the ark, the fanciful ark and the animals peeking over and Noah up standing up on the bridge and so on. But you know, I've never seen this story cartoonized. God doesn't keep the hard news from us, does he? Boy, he tells it like it is. He tells it like it is. This is reality. You know, you ought to raise your children in reality. Don't fanciful life. Don't cartoonize life. Don't make everything fun. This is not fun. This is reality. This is death. This is carnage. That's what's ahead. Do you want them to face this? But Satan will be bound as recorded in Revelation 20, 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And a roar of approval went up. Satan is bound, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. You see how God uses Satan for his own purposes? He knows that during that 1,000 years, there are going to be those that don't love the truth, and they need to be herded into a gathering, and he uses Satan to do that. And then after that, the nations will be judged, Matthew 25, 31 through 46, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee at hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto you? When did this happen? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, there's nations in the world that fit into the sheep category, and there's nations in the world that fit into the goat category. And he's judging them here according to how, what service they did for him. And then he says to those on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting. For ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. And so on and so on. And the righteous were ushered into the kingdom. And then the nation of Israel shall be gathered, regathered into their own land. And this is so beautifully expressed in Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. I love this passage. It's a source of a Negro spiritual, them dry bones. Them dry bones. I love that song. But the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Can you picture it? You know, we'd look out there and say, oh, look at this dead place. There's nothing that can come from this dead place, all those dry bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Oh, dry. You know, you can go out into the woods sometimes, and you can see the skeleton of an animal that died in the woods, and they're white as snow, clean. Cleaned up, oh, they're dry. Can anything be done with those bones? And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's a good answer, isn't it? I would have said, no way. But he trusted in the Lord, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You know, that's what Israel is, dry bones. Oh, you see the hardness of heart. You see the rejection of Christ, dry bones. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Oh, the foot bones connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bones connected to the shin bone. Know that song? And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. And then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breathe, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, this is the explanation, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, that when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and I shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. How can you be a covenant believer when you read that passage? God's not through with Israel. And not only will regathering take place, but God's sifting and purging will take place as Israel is judged in Ezekiel 20, 33 through 38. I'll read this and be finished. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out will I rule over you. And I will bring you out from the people and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there will I plead with you face to face, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So will I plead with you, saith the Lord God, and I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bonds of the covenant, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So we see the great I am, speaking here to the restored Israel. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Lord, you've given us all the truth for us to live a righteous life. Help us not to neglect that, Father, but help us to love the truth and to live the truth, being in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.